Thank you, Rufus. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for your time on the phone today. On September 11th, ESPN will kick off the 48th season of Monday Night Football in Minnesota. You'll see Randy Moss and the Monday Night Countdown crew on air at 4 p.m. Central Time. Then Saints-Vikings begins at 5:55. And then at halftime, Randy will be inducted into the Vikings Ring of Honor. To preview the matchup and talk about his upcoming honor, we've got Randy on the line with us now. And we'll go right into questions. Lindsay Young with Vikings.com. We'll go to you first, and then we'll go to Mark Craig with the Star Tribune. Go ahead with your question, Lindsay.
Yeah, you didn't know that you were going to be being inducted into the Ring of Honor, and so you were kind of reacting to this surprise announcement. Just wondering, after you've been able to kind of process that a little bit more, if you had any other reaction or things to say just about that honor.
No, I think that, from the time of being told the news to now, it's just more of, counting down the days and continuing to, reflect back on, games and going on the internet looking at games and coaches and, just embracing the moment is really, really what I'm taking in. So, nothing to really say, man, just more of, I've always told myself that I never did pay attention to a lot of the stuff going on because when I played basketball, everything was just coming so fast and so at a rapid pace. That I never did have time to really sit back and, look at a highlight or, look at a game or anything like that. It was just each week I had to continue to keep moving on. Now that I'm retired and I have time to, sit back and reflect and just look at, all my accomplishments individual and then as a team, it's a great feeling to have. So I'm just basically just embracing the moment all the way up to Monday night.
Thank you.
We'll go to Mark Craig, and then John Krasinski with the Associated Press is on deck.
Hey, Randy, congratulations. Just curious, how did you make the game look so easy, particularly the deep ball? And as you look at the Vikings now, a team that hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiver, I think, since 09, as easy as you guys made it look, and you in particular made it look back then, as they struggle now. And curious, you comment about how you made it look easy and then what you see that makes it so tough for them right now.
I really think the game has been, somewhat watered down. I think it's more of a, well, look at me, with the social media and, the way that the fans react to certain things now. So I think it's just more of, they've changed the game, they've changed the rules, they've changed the way guys prepare, changed the game, the way guys practice. I just think it just comes with time where, not myself, but, the quarterback, the team, where there were special players out there. There were special coaches out there. And I think that when you look at the success that I was able to have at such a young age, I think that a lot of that stuff gets overshadowed because it's just me in the end zone scoring touchdowns. I owe a lot of people, credit to, as far as getting me ready, understanding what to prepare for, how to prepare, how to practice, and then going out there and just making Sunday look so easy. So I think it's just more of the way that, we used to have two-a-day practices. We used to have pads on Wednesday and Thursday. So I just think that the game has, is still the same. I think the rules have changed, of course, just like I do. But I just think that the way guys prepare, the way guys practice, I think the way guys train the off season, I think that some of that stuff has been watered down. So I think when you look at the results for Sunday, whatever you put into your work is what you get on Sunday. So, I just give a credit to that era, not just myself, but, the guys that played in that era of, why they had to compete and who they were competing against. So you think about all the positions of, the early 2000s of all the the great guys out there to hopefully be wearing a Hall of Fame jacket one day, man. It was a great era to be watching, to be playing, and then also be competing against other guys. So I think as time goes on, you see the change.
And real quick, just your thoughts on Treadwell and what he needs to do to live up to that first round status.
I think also, you know, some of the things that I just spoke on, you know, as far as his preparation, you know, his off-season regimen, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, weekly preparation. You know, one of the biggest things that I look at in Minneapolis is, you know, Minneapolis is a place that, you know, it's a great place to be in. The people are great. The city's great. You have two cities. The nightlife is great. The sporting, you know, as far as professional sports, you know, you got hockey, soccer, you know, basketball, football. So there's a lot of great things going on in Minneapolis. And I think that, you know, what I did at such a young age, I had to be able to sacrifice and be able to focus and home in and let a lot of things go, you know, as far as, you know, being to bed at a certain time, not going out on certain days. And then as I got older, I had to learn, you know, how my body worked, how I, you know, had to do day in and day out. So just a lot of the things that I talk about, just not Treadwell, just a lot of these young generation, you know, guys, wide receivers, you know, any position, they got to understand, man, that the game is going to continue to grow. The players are going to continue to get better. So as the game gets better and these players get better, you got to be able to do the same. And it starts in the off season.
Thanks, Randy.
We'll go to John Krasinski, followed by Chad Graff with the Pioneer Press.
Hey, Randy, thanks for doing this. I wanted to get your thoughts on, it's obviously a big night for you and the ceremony, and I don't think that there's any doubt what kind of reception you're going to get there, but what do you think about kind of almost sharing the night with Adrian Peterson and him returning in different colors? I mean, I think it's probably the two most popular players this franchise has had in the last two decades, and what will it be like to see him there in a Saints uniform, and what do you anticipate from him in week one too?
You know, I think that, you know, as long as I've been a fan of the game, you know, you have guys like an Adrian Peterson that'll grow on you, that will grow on you, that will continue to grow on you. And for the fact that both of us were drafted, you know, as Vikings, you know, I had to I grew to love, you know, his game and what he brought to the game, what he brought to the Minnesota Vikings. And by him coming back, you know, it's not, you know, I think it's really a big night for just the state of Minnesota, you know, my family, the Vikings. You know, yeah, AP has come back. Yeah, I'm going in the Ring of Honor. Yeah, it is a Monday night game, you know. I mean, could the atmosphere have been better, or could have been worse if it was a Sunday night football game? No, Monday night is the biggest stage in professional football, you know, other than Super Bowl Sunday. So I think that, you know, when you look at a night like this, you know, I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan. You know, what I'm doing is, you know, working, you know, pregame, and then I have a ceremony at halftime. But at the same rate, don't forget, you know, the night is the Vikings and the Saints. Yeah, AP is coming home, and you know, one of the biggest things that I'm looking forward to seeing is, you know, throughout practice of Adrian Peterson's career, you know, it's kind of like a lot of defenders that I practiced against had to put it to me this way: when they were going against me, they were not allowed to hit me. And if they were, you know, it was a little thud. You know, now that AP's coming back, I think there's going to be an extra incentive for that defense to go ahead and tee off on Adrian Peterson. But at the same time, I think it's going to give him an extra incentive that he's coming back home where it all started out, or where it all started at, and now he gets to show them that, no, y'all shouldn't have drafted Cook. Y'all should have left me, gave me my money. So I think that there's just a lot of big things that is going to happen that night. And like I said, man, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the game of football. So I think it's just a big night for the state of Minnesota, man. The Ring of Honor, AP coming back. You know, the Minnesota Vikings starting off hot last year. Seeing if they can go ahead and start off hot this year and not, you know, stub their toe, you know, come bye week. So there's just a lot of, you know, good positive things that can happen. I think just me being in the Ring of Honor,
followed by Matthew Collar.
Brady, you mentioned watching highlights and reflecting a bit. What has it been like to reflect on your time with the Vikings, and are there any plays you've been watching more than others?
No, I mean, I wish I could, you know, probably put maybe, you know, in a 14-year career, maybe like 5 highlight rim films together and cherish them and keep them. But, you know, I go on, you know, the internet, YouTube, just like anybody else, and just start searching Randy Moss highlights. And I think that a lot of the great memories that I had was, you know, being in that Metrodome. I mean, I've done some great things elsewhere, of course, you know, in New England. You know, had a up and down year in San Francisco my last year. But I think when I sit back and reflect where the game started, you know, for me as a professional, it was in Minnesota. So just being able to look at those highlights, you know, DeMo Williams against Denver Broncos before the half flipped back over, you know, over my shoulder. You know, every time I look back at that play, man, it's just more just backyard the things that I did as a kid. So I think, I mean, I don't know who the reporter was, but asked me a few questions ago about making it look easy. I think that, you know, I've been doing it since I was 6 years old, and, you know, I don't really know what else to say besides, you know, it's just something I've been doing for so long that it just became routine to me that, you know, going out here, catching a ball, you know, throwing a ball up high as you possibly can and then running down and getting it yourself. So all the little things that kids do today, I did as a kid. So being able to go out here on Sunday and make it look easy, of course, it's hard work because there's other grown men out here trying to feed their families also. But I think that the passion and the love and determination that I had, you know, at such a young age, and then as I grew older, you know, found out that there was a possibility that I could get paid to do this as a profession. You know, that was actually, you know, icing on the cake. So I think it's just something that I just fell in love with at a young age. And every single day I put on the helmet, went to the field on during the week, went to the field on Sunday. I enjoyed it just like a kid going out and having recess at school. So I've always liked to enjoy the game. I think later on in my career, I finally gave in as far as it being entertainment to others. But, you know, for me, man, it's just something that I started as a kid, and every single day, like I said, I put that helmet on, man. I was just like any other kid, just been able to go out there at recess having fun. And, you know, they go to the playground, I'm in between the white lines. So that's how I compare them.
We'll go to Matthew Collar, followed by Courtney Cronin with NFL Nation.
Hi, Randy. You talked a few months ago when you were in Minnesota just about still having a chip on your shoulder and thinking about the draft from way back when. Will this night going into the Ring of Honor, does that give you closure, or will you never be able to let go what happened on draft night?
No, I mean, as you mature as a person, I mean, you need to be able to let go of, you know, any things, any bumps, any type of bumps in the road, you know, self-inflicted or however you see it. But I think it's just more, I don't want to call it closure. I mean, this is my life, and, you know, I wouldn't trade my life or exchange any day that's never happened to me in 40 years for anything, because I think that's what's made me stronger as a man, stronger as a father, stronger as a husband. So I think that, you know, when I look back, you know, Monday night and look at the ups and the downs and, you know, thank the fans, thank this person, thank that person. It's just, you know, it's just a part of life. It's a part of growing. And I think that if you look any person in the eye, you know, nobody has had a smooth road. So, no, I don't look at it as, you know, reflecting back. I don't look at it as closure, man. It's just my life. It's just what it is. I've been able to come to grips with my life of, you know, how I'm, you know, treated in the airport, how I'm treated in a football stadium, you know, how people look at me when I'm in a restaurant, just all those little things you just had to be able to, you know, take in, give in. It's just what it is. It's just my life. So just being able to look, you know, and reflect back and just think about some of those things starting from draft day. Like I said, I think it's just more of just being able to just smile, man. knowing that you look at this football stadium, something that I started out at such a young age, and now my name is in here forever.
Thanks, Randy.
We'll go to Courtney Cronin, followed by AJ Mansour with KFan.
Hi, Randy. I know we're going to talk to Adrian a little bit later today about, you know, those emotions, and you've gone through this where you've been with another team and returned to the place where, you know, it built you into a star. Can you kind of go through some of those emotions that you felt and walk us through what that day was like when you returned to Minnesota for the first time?
Well, when I look at Adrian Peterson, he loves the game just as well as I love the game. And I think that, of course, his nerves are going to be, you know, getting the best of him out of the day. But, excuse me, if I could give him any type of input or any kind of help, it'd just be more of, you know, just relax, do your daily routine, do what you normally do. But at the time, when it's time to kick off, man, it's extra. I mean, it's extra. I mean, this is where he started out at. So, I think that's one of the things that I mentioned earlier about being able to be in practice where you look at Barr and Kendricks and those guys, they're not able to hit AP. I mean, they're able to, you know, put a pad on him so he can get a little bit of the physical feel of the game, but they're not allowed, you know, to bring him to the game and give him their everything. So I think that he just has to be ready, man. All this, you know, when I came to Minnesota for my second trip, you know, one of the things that I looked at with Adrian Peterson was how well he practiced with pads, without pads. It was game mode. And in my 14-year career, he's one of the top five guys on my list that I looked at. I'm like, man, if I could just come to practice every single day like him, I can still continue to make plays. And I'm at, you know, in my mid-30s. So, I think for him, just being able to understand that there is going to be a lot of hype, there is going to be a lot of excitement, but knowing the player that he is and the excitement that he brought to the Minnesota Vikings, the excitement that he brought to the National Football League, I mean, I don't know what the New Orleans Saints has in store for him for Monday night, you know, if it's running, run blocking, coming out of the backfield, catching the ball, whatever it is, whatever opportunity he's able to get. Man, show us the Adrian Peterson that we know and love.
And quickly following up on that, obviously you're eligible next year for the Hall of Fame, and I kind of wanted to get your take on it. Does it matter where you go in for you personally, and do you think that, you know, among those 50 voters in Canton, that there might be a stigma against wide receivers going in on that first ballot because we just haven't seen it a lot in, you know, recent years?
Man, there's a lot of different avenues we could go down of Hall of Fame, the voting, the criteria, you know, all that stuff. All I know is I just played the game to the best of my ability. I put my mark, I put my stamp, I put my name, I put my family's name on the game of football, the National Football League. You can't get any higher. And wherever people hold me at and wherever they put me, that's up to them. But I know deep and down in my heart, you know, when it's all said and done, I know where I stand, man. I stand up there with the greats. First ballot or not, I understand what it is, man. It's a political war, and I was one of those guys. I didn't play, and nor do I intend to play into politics. So I know what I stood for. I know what the game is. I gave my all to the game. 14 years through the ups and downs, I still gave my commitment to the National Football League, like it or not.
Thank you.
With the Associated Press.
It'd probably be a pretty easy argument that your success based off your talent would have come no matter what, where you were drafted, what team it was on. But do you think that your number would be retired, number 84, no longer worn, if it wasn't for the impact that a guy like Dennis Green had off the field on your trajectory?
To answer your question, to sum everything up that you just asked, I mean, you're talking about a black man being able to coach in the National Football League, being able to put up with all these stereotypes, you know, whatever racism that was going on, to be able to go out here and coach, win or lose, to hold his head up high and to continue to lead his team week in and week out. When I was drafted to the Minnesota Vikings, a lot of that stuff was very clear to me about the things that Coach Green had to go through of being a black head coach in the National Football League. So you asking me about off-the-field issues, this man drafted me because he saw there was no off-the-field issues. Who says on this microphone right now that's listening to me from you reporters, did y'all do anything in y'all's 10 years? Yeah, ain't nobody perfect. I'm not telling you right or wrong, big or small. Nobody's an angel. So what Dennis Green took a chance on me for him to be able to look at my past, to look at my youth, and look at some of the mistakes that I was able to make that that any other, child has made. So for him to be able to give me an opportunity and still be able to go out here and put up with the things that he had to put up. And, yeah, like I said, I've said time and time again, some of the things that I was able to do were self-inflicted, and some of them were not my fault. You know, but I'm not here for the blame game, and I'm not here for any sympathy. You know, we play in the National Football League. You have to be able to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. And I think at the end of the day, I was able to show throughout 14 years that whatever was going on in my life, on the field or off the field, I still came for a show. And that was what I loved to do, and that was play football.
We'll go to Dave Campbell with the Associated Press, followed by Larry Fitzgerald.
Hey, Randy. With this opener on primetime and a lot of attention on all the different storylines, what any particular primetime game that you played for the Vikings that still stands out among the others?
Well, my biggest games were, of course, it's going to be Green Bay. Because my first Monday night game was in Green Bay with all the hype. And, I can still remember, being in high school playing, Friday Night Lights. Oh, you're going to be the nights, the night lights will be on. Excuse me, the whole world is going to be watching. I'm sitting there thinking like, man, we opened up with Tampa Bay. I mean, that was big enough for me. So it was kind of like, my expectations of going out there to play were no different than any other game or any other year that I played. But then when you hear, Coach Green's speeches and how he's sitting up there hyping up the team, when you hear the leaders, John Randall, Chris Carter, Randall McDaniel, when you hear those guys talking, I'm like, is this a playoff game or Super Bowl? No, it's just a regular season game. So for me, being able to come up, just being able to feel the magnitude of what the game meant, one, for the border war, two, for, Packers, Vikings, Brett Favre, Coach Green. It was just a lot of things that I really never paid attention to growing up, and now that I'm a part of it, every single game that I went into Lambeau Field, there was not a day that, man, we're here again. The rivalry's here again. Even when I was with the San Francisco 49ers when we played week one, it was back at Lambeau Field. So I think the memories that I had been able to see, Lambeau Field before the renovation, going out there walking and, touching shoulders against a legend of Reggie White, just been able to see everything that I grew up seeing with Lambeau Field and their Ring of Honor and things like that. So it was just a lot of stuff, man. I'm a fan of the games, too. Not just because I played a game. I mean, I just grew up just being a fan of the game. And so now that I'm in there just looking at the lights, looking at those names, and then going out here to compete against, to watch Dorsey Levins. I just seen him a few years prior win a Super Bowl. So it was just being able to see the names on television, being a country boy, and now I'm out here competing against these guys. I think Lambeau Field was just my number one field to go in and do whatever I could to possibly come out of there with a victory.
Unfortunately, we have just a couple minutes left, so last question will go to Larry Fitzgerald with National Programming Network.
Randy, congratulations. Good to talk to you. Really excited about the great work you're doing on ESPN and excited for your induction into the Ring of Honor and then, of course, later into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Would you talk a bit about some of the impact that you've had coming into the National Football League when you came in, particularly on a little guy that is very special to me, Larry Fitzgerald Jr., and what he's gone on to do after some of the things he learned from you in high school?
I think when you, you know, Fitz, when you look at, you know, a lot of the things that I was able to do without knowing that I was even doing it came with a lot of my growth and maturity. You know, like, for instance, I will never, ever forget this when you guys invited to his high school football game, and we came out there, and it was mosquitoes everywhere. We couldn't even enjoy the game. It was mosquitoes everywhere. And so the mosquitoes was bothering us. We could not, you know, swat them away. We could not enjoy the game. Of course, you know, the fans were, you know, around us too. And then, you know, God rest her soul, your late wife came and brought us some off. So from that time, you know, we sprayed the off. The off only did a little bit of something, but we were able to watch the game. So you then been able to see your son's development, to see his maturity. You know, a slow start coming out of high school, going to Pitt, wrecking the NCAA, and then coming and having the type of career, you know, that he's having right now, and being able to have my name, you know, tied to something like that, to be able to be an inspiration. You know, that's the stuff that I was talking about earlier in this interview, to be able to sit back and reflect. And, you know, when you're a kid and, you know, you're signing autographs and you're going to these hospitals and you're meeting this kid, and then this kid, you know, grows up to be someone special, or to be an Olympian, or to be, you know, whoever they become. That's the stuff that I talk about, that now, you know, when I was doing it, when I was, you know, a kid myself and growing right before everyone's eyes, that's the stuff that you don't sit back and act on until it's over, until, you know, you dip them cleats, hang that jersey up. So for me to be able to, you know, reach the people, for me to be able to touch so many people, to be able to entertain, you know, so many people, I really did not know, Fitz, about, you know, the entertainment part of the game, you know, until probably to middle, toward the late end of my career. All I ever wanted to do was play football. And on my journey there, you know, being able to, like I said, meet these kids in the hospital, being able to meet so many people's family, and now being able to go back through there Monday night, man, I don't know whose kids or who. You know, for me to be able to know, you helped me in this picture and you did this, I think it's just a great night to be back in Minnesota for everybody, just reflect on some of the great times, some of the great memories in the Metrodome. You know, U.S. Bank Stadium, to me, you know, that's the name of it. I think the foundation that it was on still has a Metrodome type of sense to it. So for me to be able to do what I was able to do, Fitz, for my time in Minnesota and the people and the lives that I was been able to touch, and the lives and people that was able to touch me, those are some of the things that I said earlier I would not want to change or trade in for the world, man, because I think that was a lot of my motivation, you know, for me to continue to go out there and, you know, to perform and, you know, to go out there with a, you know, ankle or shoulder or wrist, whatever's ailing me, you know, to go out there and just give the people what they wanted. And that's, and you know, all of that in a nutshell, man, I appreciate it, you know, for everything, you know, being able to, you know, twist this, twist that in a positive light. Because, I mean, Fitz, you know, just as a reporter, everything hasn't been all peaches and cream. But at the same time, as a reporter, as a father, you know, as a husband, some of the things and some of the bumps in the road that you had to go to wouldn't make you the great man you are today, to being able to raise those boys to be where they are today. So I think just a lot of the stuff, you know, Fitz, just came with growth. You know, just old country boy from Rand, West Virginia, man. I didn't come into here expecting that, man, but just to play a little football. And now, you know, for my name to be in the Vikings Ring of Honor with, you know, all these greats, man, I came here for a purpose, man. That was just to play football. And, you know, I'll leave you with, you know, coming into Minnesota, you know, we had a guy from West Virginia, was Carl Lee. And before then, I used to grow up hearing about the Purple People Eaters and, you know, looking at the defense, and I played defense in high school. And when I got drafted, knowing that, you know, the Vikings defense had that nickname, you know, I always wanted to have that, you know, that tough I was tough because I thought that was the Viking way. You know, so there's a lot of other organizations like that that don't have that type of mystique, that don't have that type of background or that type of history. But Minnesota Vikings is one of those teams that do, and I think when you look at Bud Grant and the things that they started, that defense with Alan Page and those guys, what they started, man, like I said, it was entertainment for me. I enjoyed it. So the Purple People Eater started, you know, I was just happy to be just a piece of the puzzle, man. And now I'm in the Ring of Honor. You know, like I said, I'm still speechless. I don't even know what the Ring of Honor is. I know I did something good, man, and that was the game of football. God bless me with the talent to be able to do it, man. So I appreciate y'all being on this call, and hopefully, you know, y'all enjoy the game Monday, and hopefully Vikes get this victory. So y'all enjoy y'all's day, and I appreciate y'all's time. Fitz, have a good day, all right?